This is Audible.
Blackstone presents The Infinite Light of Dust by Anna Todd. This book is read by Lauren Ezzo and Jamie Lincoln Smith. To the reader listening to this book, may you always find comfort within the inked pages of love stories. May you feel a little less lonely and a lot more understood. We each deserve our own love story, but never forget that your greatest love is yourself. We're shining in each of our rooms, in each of our planets. One light is ambition. Some light is wandering. People's lights all are precious. This dark night, don't be lonely. Like stars, we shine. Don't disappear. BTS, Microcosmos. Chapter 1, Karina. As the shock wore off, we watched Elodie's husband, Phillips, come up my walkway and toward the porch where Kale and I were standing. Kale gently pressed his hand against my back to hold me steady. I could feel his palm flinching, shaking a bit. What the hell was going on? Could there be worse timing than this? How did Phillips even get here? And when?
Stay here,
Kale said under this breath, but loud enough for me to hear. I stayed planted on the concrete porch, listening to him for once. Something about Kale's body language was off as I watched him step down to greet the man who was supposed to be his best friend. Something in the way Kale's jaw tensed and his hand shook made me pay even closer attention to both men. Phillips had gone from some mythical man I had only heard about and seen pictures of to a real-life person standing in the middle of my yard. He hugged Kale, and an alarm went off in my head. Maybe it was because of the way Phillips was with Elodie lately, how he'd spoken to her on their video calls, and the sadness in her voice and eyes when it came to him. But I no longer looked forward to meeting him. Not to mention the photo on Kale's phone, Austin and Elodie embracing, kissing, having an affair. I hadn't been able to even process that yet, and now her husband was here in the flesh.
Surprised to see me?
He asked Kale. The morning air was still crisp and dewy, and a puff of breath came out of his mouth as he spoke.
As hell. When did you get in?
Kale responded, patting his battle buddy on the shoulder. I didn't know if I should go inside or keep standing there watching them, but before I could make up my mind, Phillips's attention turned to me. Suddenly, I wondered how he'd gotten my address in the first place, if he'd known Kale would be here, or if he was looking for his wife.
You must be the infamous Karina,
he said, in a tone that could easily be either playful or sinister. I didn't know him well enough to know which, and the pit in the bottom of my stomach grew as the seconds passed. He rubbed his hands together to warm them. The weather was typical for a Georgia fall, but I guessed after being in Afghanistan for so long, he was used to extreme heat, and being stateside would take a while to get used to. I lifted my hand to wave, and it didn't go unnoticed that Kale moved around him quickly and strode back up to the porch. Something in Kale's eyes shifted, and for once, I couldn't read his mind. He stood on the bottom step, putting a barrier between Phillips and me. I am. And you must be the infamous Philip Phillips. I faked a smile. He nodded, bowing slightly.
I am.
Silence ticked by, like none of us knew what the hell to say or do.
Where is my wife?
Phillips finally asked. The PX, I blurted. The sun was still rising, turning the sky an orange hue. I would usually take it in longer, but this wasn't the time.
I was hoping to surprise her, not y'all. When will she be back? Hell, I don't even know what time it is and don't have a phone yet. But what the hell is she getting from the PX this early?
He sighed. Annoyed, maybe? Or maybe I was looking for reasons to feel uneasy. He had just arrived from Afghanistan to see his wife, and she wasn't here. I would probably be annoyed too. And thank God he didn't have a phone yet. What the fuck were we going to do about the photo floating around? I needed to talk to Kale alone ASAP. I also needed to warn Elodie that her husband was here and thought she was at the store, not having a sleepover with my brother. "I don't know, but I can call her," I offered, trying not to let the panic in my voice shine through.
"No."
His tone was clipped. Kale's back stiffened and he turned to Phillips.
"We can go to my place and Karina can bring Elodie over when she's back," Kale suggested.
His idea would only work if Elodie and my brother could get out of Kale's place before Phillips got there. There weren't many places the two of them could be, so they had to be at Kale's, where Austin had been staying for a while now. Phillips shook his head.
"Fuck. How long ago did she leave?" "It's only been... I don't know, actually."
It was true. From the time that Austin and Elodie had left, everything was a blur. It was obvious why they didn't come back last night, but that was of no help to me or to Kale, who had to cover for them. My palms were clammy, my heart racing. Phillips's nearly black eyes stared at me. I could feel him trying to reach for something. Maybe he already knew about Austin and Elodie? There was something so uncomfortable, so accusatory about the way he was studying me. God, this was a disaster.
"How do you not know?"
he accused me. I took a step forward, though fear was creeping inside of me.
"Don't talk to her like that."
Kale's voice was commanding, and I was starting to feel like there was something I was missing, as always. Phillips's lips turned into a smile, and he shrugged his shoulders back in a slow movement, like he was trying to control himself. Was he always this volatile? How could Elodie be married to someone like him? My judgment was fast and harsh, but something was seriously off with him.
"Is something going on here?"
Phillips turned to Kale, and the blood rose to the surface of my skin.
"Other than you showing up here without warning and getting pissed off at the wrong people, no."
Kale's response made Phillips step back a little. His shoulders slumped, and he didn't seem as threatening anymore, even though he had to be almost 6 feet tall. In my mind, soldiers always carry a certain level of strength and intimidation, no matter their physical appearance. But Phillips' bearing didn't feel like someone who was fresh from a war zone. He was only an inch or so shorter than Kale, but a lot less built. He was much thinner than I'd imagined, but I had only really seen photos of him in his uniform, which always makes people look bigger than they are. Phillips raised his hand and rubbed his forehead.
"Sorry, it's been a hell of a week and I flew 20 hours. Bad first impression, huh?"
He looked up at me on the porch, and his expression changed to one of innocence. I tried to rationalize his emotions and see his side, but it was harder than it should have been. He was deployed until a day ago. I should have way more sympathy for him. "It's not a great one, but understandable. Do you want something to eat? I made some sausage gravy and biscuits. Or a shower. I might have some beer." I didn't know why I was offering such a moody man alcohol so early in the morning, and I could tell by Kale's expression that he didn't either.
"We should go to my place. You probably don't even have clothes on you,"
Kale suggested. Again, my pulse raced. Did Kale not realize that Austin and Elodie had to be at his place right now? Philip shook his head.
"I have a change of clothes, and a beer and shower sounds fucking amazing right now."
Out of the corner of my eye, I caught my neighbor, Bradley, watching the three of us. I had practically spied on Bradley many times, but for some reason, I felt like he was seeing something he shouldn't. I was also trying to avoid looking at Kale because he was looking at me like I'd suggested we murder someone. I really wished I had my phone on me so I could at least check my brother's location and give him a heads up that Elodie's husband had literally shown up on my doorstep. All right then, let's go inside. I rocked back on my heels awkwardly. Again, I could feel Kale telepathically cursing me out, but he stayed quiet as he led Phillips into my house. Chapter 2. Karina.
What the hell are you thinking?
Kale whispered the moment we heard the water in the bathroom turn on. We were in my room, standing near the window. The sun had completely filled the sky, bringing the heat with it, and Kale's stare burned a hole through me. What was I supposed to do, have a picnic in the yard? Why the hell is he here? And what are we going to do about Austin and Elodie? Where the hell are they? They must have stayed together at your place. I pressed my fingers against my temples and paced the room. Thank God my room was close to the bathroom so we could hear the shower turn on and off. I hoped that Phillips took his time and didn't take 2-minute showers like most soldiers, Kale included.
You aren't going to do or say anything about Elodie and your brother, Kale said pointedly.
He caught my arm as I paced by him and pulled me closer.
Seriously, Karina, you have to stay out of it, whatever the fuck it even is. I was trying to get him away from you so you could get a hold of Elodie or your brother and have them get their asses back here.
Don't tell me what to do, Kale, I whispered forcefully. This is really not good, and it involves the two people I care about the most in the world. I glared at him, yanking my arm away from his gentle grasp. Two of the three, I mean. Kale sat down on the edge of my bed and put his head between his knees without saying a word. The last thing either of us needed was to turn on one another right now. I moved forward to comfort him, touching his head. The freshly shaven strands gently poked at my palm.
He doesn't seem to have any clue that anything is amiss, so as long as we both stay calm, it will be fine. For now, at least,
Kale said. I'm going to grab my phone before he gets out and see where the hell they are and tell Elodie to come back now. He nodded under my touch, and I walked as fast as I could to the living room to get my phone. The screen normally lit up when touched, but it stayed black, so I tapped it. Still black. No fucking way was my phone dead right now. I heard the water stop running and more panic set in. I rushed back into my room and asked Kale for his phone.
This isn't not getting involved, Karina.
He groaned, but placed the phone in my hand anyway. I called my brother first, and couldn't manage to stand still as it rang and rang. His annoying voice came through on his voicemail, and I wanted to break Kale's phone and my brother's neck at the same time. I scrolled and found Elodie's name and tried her. After 2 rings, her voice chimed in my ear. Hi, birthday girl. Elodie, where the heck are you guys? You never came back last night. I tried to be as quiet as possible, knowing my walls were paper thin. We're pulling onto the street now. Sorry, we ended up staying at Kale's. I was so tired and it was nice and quiet, so I asked Austin if I could stay over. Sorry if you were worried, she said. Is something wrong? She asked, knowing me well enough to catch on to my tone. Well, I tried to respond through the hurt of her lying to me so easily. Putting my own feelings aside, I didn't know if I should ruin the surprise, if she would even be happy to see Phillips, or if she would want to be warned, given the fact that everyone in the friend group just found out that she's having an affair with my brother. Before I could think straight enough to decide, she spoke again. We're pulling up. I'm coming right in. Kale sat up as I handed him back his phone. They're here.
You should stay in here. We both should, he said, nodding at the door. This isn't our business, and Phillips doesn't know anything about Fisher and Elodie yet.
Are you sure? I perched on one of his knees. He wrapped his arms around me, but his body still felt stiff as a board.
If he knew your brother was fucking his wife, your house wouldn't be standing, and that's a fact.
His words rattled me, but they had to be true. Austin and Elodie. When? How? What the hell were they thinking? Not only was I still shocked from seeing the photo and them clearly staying the night together, but now she was acting like nothing had happened. Which, I guess to her, nothing had. I swear my head was going to explode, and we only had seconds before they'd come prancing through the door, totally not expecting Elodie's husband to be here. As much as I want to stay out of it, I can't. We can't. What if they fight or something? I asked Cale, grabbing his hand and pulling him toward my bedroom door. He planted his feet and grabbed his hoodie and pressed it against my chest.
Put this on, at least.
He looked down my body to my short pajama shorts and thin top. The last thing I was thinking about was my outfit, but I tossed the oversized hoodie, which came to my knees, over my head. Cale led me down the hallway. We passed the bathroom as the door to it and the front door opened at the same time.
Karina, what's going on?
Elodie's voice was full of concern, and her doe eyes fell into relief as she saw me hand in hand with Cale.
You scared me, she said, holding up the plastic bag in her hand. We got the baby monitor before it sold out yesterday, and Austin even got them to give me an extra $10 off because the box is open and...
Her voice halted abruptly, and her blue eyes widened as she looked at the figure behind me. Austin came barreling in behind her, smiling and tossing his shoes off his feet before looking up.
What's...
Philip? Elodie's voice was barely above a whisper as she said his name. She didn't rush toward him and throw her arms around him like I had seen many wives welcoming home their husbands do. She stood still, her eyes frozen on him as he walked into the living room. It had never felt so small.
Well, that's not the reaction I expected,
Philip said to her.
There was a confusing mixture of warmth and iciness to his voice.
His dark hair was still wet from the shower, a bit longer than the typical required buzz cut. He stood awkwardly, swaying his lower body slightly, as if they were meeting for the first time. Elodie's face was frozen for a few seconds, before she snapped out of it and broke into a smile. Phillips wrapped his arms around her waist and hugged her, lifting her feet off the ground. She yelped in pain, and he put her down.
The baby,
she said, gently pushing at her husband's chest to put some distance between them.
You have to be careful of the baby.
Her direction was calm, but it wasn't lost on me that the bottom of his jaw twitched as she took another step back, away from him. My heart sank as I finally took in my brother. Austin looked like he was being burned alive. I couldn't imagine how he felt, despite the chaos the two of them had caused. There were so many questions, so much confusion, but right then all I felt was his pain. I could see it as clear as a cloudless sky. He loved her. My brother was in love with Elodie. How did I, his twin, not see this until now? Everything he was feeling in that moment was written on his face. The worry and pain in his blue eyes, the longing in his hands stretched out toward her, the helplessness he felt as he dropped them to his sides.
Sorry.
Phillips's hands went to Elodie's stomach, and he rubbed it gently over her sweatshirt. Austin's face was turning a sick shade of green. Let's give them some privacy, I suggested, and Elodie's eyes darted to me.
Yeah, I need to...
My brother was struggling to find the words.
I'll take you,
Cale offered. Austin looked relieved, but as his twin, I could tell he was in some form of shock. I'd never seen him so speechless.
You?
Cale looked my way.
You're coming too.
I wanted to tell him to piss off, that I wasn't going to leave Elodie here with this man. But the man in question was her husband, so it didn't make any sense for me to be this worried. None of what was happening did, so I followed Kale's very direct demand and slid my shoes on, pushing my dead cell phone into the pocket of his hoodie. I'd have to charge it in Kale's truck or wherever we were going. I wanted to ask Elodie if it was okay to leave, but I didn't want to make things worse or more tense between her and Phillips. Neither of them had moved, like they didn't know what to do around one another, which was also pretty normal when a soldier came home after being gone a while. And I'm sure having an audience wasn't helping. I'll be back home tonight. Text me if you need anything, I told Elodie, as we made our way out the front door. Kale said the same to Phillips, and gently pushed Austin's back, forcing him to follow us out onto the porch. The three of us were silent as we made our way down the grass. Kale opened the passenger door for me, and there was a lurching sound followed by the splash of liquid on the concrete. I looked back to see my brother hunched over, vomiting on the street. Kale patted my brother's back, and he was saying something that I couldn't hear. Kale must have felt so conflicted between his best friend and my brother. We were all in the middle of a spider web, and there was no way for all of it to fall into place peacefully. Someone was bound to get bitten.
Breathe. Try to breathe.
Kale continued to rub his hand across my brother's back.
This is so fucked up,
Austin mumbled, his voice broken as he wiped his sleeve across his chin. I wondered if he was going to elaborate, but it wasn't the time to push him. Not yet. After Austin was done being sick, we drove with only the loud rumble of Kale's truck. I hadn't even brushed my teeth, and it was late in the morning. Austin was staring out the window in a void, his lids heavy, his head slumped. It didn't feel right to start grilling my brother about Elodie right now, but we also had to warn him that people knew about the two of them. And now that Phillips was back, things were even more complicated. My head ached, and I only realized I was crying when Kale reached over and wiped my cheek. I wasn't sure if it was for my brother, or because of the stress of all of it, or for my best friend, who didn't seem to recognize her own husband.
Chapter 3. Kale. Damn it all to hell. The list of problems and potential solutions ran through my head as we drove to my place. My hands were going numb because of how hard I was gripping the steering wheel. There were a whole lot more problems than solutions coming to mind. How the fuck had Phillips gotten home when he still had months of deployment left? The possible answers to that were all but good. Something was fucking up. Not only did he look like a shell of the man I knew, and there was no way he would have flown home without telling me, but how did he know where Karina lived? I rolled my neck, trying to release some of the tension. I looked into the rearview mirror at Fisher, who was a sickly shade of green, and then to Karina at my side. My instincts told me that their father was involved somehow. I had no reason necessarily to come to that conclusion, but I simply knew it. He was too involved in every problem in our lives, from covering up innocent deaths in Afghanistan to trying to break Karina and me apart. Why would this time be any different? Karina sniffled next to me, and I could feel her anxiety rippling off her in waves. It was so strong that it was hard to focus while driving. She was shockingly quiet until we pulled onto my street. She hadn't been to my duplex before, and this is not the way I wanted to show it to her. But I had to get them out of that house before Karina let something slip out of nervousness or Fisher lost his shit. I could see it on his face. If Phillips touched Elodie again, he would snap. I knew that look too well. I pulled into the driveway and Karina looked over at me. This is your house? She looked forward. The yard was neat, recently mowed, but there were materials scattered at the front of the house. Wooden planks, metal fasteners, a bucket of paint that had to be dried out by now, hammers, a drill, everything needed for all the DIY I had going on lately. Yeah. I wanted to show you it when it was done. But here we are, I shrugged, feeling oddly nervous for her to see it in such an undone state. Here we are, she repeated, her voice tight. I wanted to hug her. I could only imagine how much tension she was holding right now, even though not one bit of it was her fault, and this was how she was spending her birthday. What a fucking mess. I reached up and grazed her cheek again. This time it was slightly more dry. She closed her eyes and leaned into my palm. Her skin was cold, even though the heat was on in the truck. Let's go inside, I said. Fisher climbed out of the back without making a peep, and Karina watched her brother closely as we walked to the front door. Do you think they're okay? She asked as I typed the passcode into my automatic lock. She examined it like she had never seen one before. If we weren't in the middle of such a fucked up situation, I would tell her I could install one at her house too, so she doesn't have to worry about losing her keys or getting locked out. Yeah, they'll be fine. It will take a little while to get used to each other. I tried to keep my voice as steady as possible. I didn't know for sure if I was lying or not, but it felt like I was. Elodie seems so uneasy, scared, Karina said as I flicked the living room and porch lights on. Fisher pushed past us and went to the bathroom, slamming the door behind him. The violent sounds of him puking made Karina shudder. Austin? She followed the path her brother had taken, stepping over boards and boxes and opened the bathroom door down the hall. This was far from how I had envisioned showing her the work I had put into this place. As soon as she closed the door behind her, I pulled my phone out of my pocket and called Mendoza. He answered on the second ring. He picked up with a casual, "Yo, Phillips is back," I told him, walking to the kitchen area and the back door. "Huh?" "Phillips. He showed up at Karina's house this morning." I kept my voice as low as I could, but Mendoza didn't do the same.
"What the fuck you mean he showed up at Karina's house?"
I heard the familiar screen door creak open, followed by the noise of a car honking, letting me know he had stepped outside away from the kids. "What I said. He showed up here in his ACUs, fresh off the goddamn plane looking for his wife."
"Fuck, fuck, fuck, fuck. Did he see the picture? Does he know about Fisher and her?"
I wanted to slam my fist through the screen door and feel the aluminum mesh cut through the flesh on my hand. "So far, it doesn't seem like he has a clue. But we know that won't last for long. I don't know what to do, man. Karina's losing it. And we should be fucking up Fisher for touching our friend's wife, but..." I said.
"But we can't. And we know damn fucking well we won't. Fisher can't keep himself out of trouble. I'll try to handle it on my side and keep the ship from reaching Phillips for now, but it's only a matter of time," Mendoza added. "Fisher's leaving soon for basic, if we can keep them separate until then."
"And Elodie, I wouldn't have considered this before, but I'm telling you something is really fucking off with Phillips. He seems even worse than before. You don't think he would hurt her, right?" I was surprised by my own question, given I was usually the handler of all the shit, not the one asking questions on next steps.
"He's been fucked up, I told you that, and I wouldn't put it past him. Don't forget what he did to Nielsen and that Afghani woman he fell in love with. Phillips is the one who told the command where Nielsen was hiding, and they were supposed to be friends."
My stomach turned. If he does anything to Elodie, I will kill him myself.
"Correction, bro, we will kill him. Let's play it cool for now. You take care of Karina and Fisher, and I'll try to keep Phillips busy and find out how the fuck he got home so early."
I didn't tell Mendoza about my suspicion about Fisher's dad being involved because of all the shit that would bring up. The guilt that Mendoza struggled with daily, the lie Karina's father had created and forced us all to not only be a part of, but to keep our mouths shut about, those wounds would be torn open again, and they hadn't even properly healed yet. None of us had healed, and maybe we never would. I hated that he was responsible for one of the many open wounds inside of me and that I couldn't escape him, not the way I needed to. I would be haunted for the rest of my life by what he had caused, all while Karina and Fisher's dad was sitting pretty as a retired high-ranking officer.
"I used to dream of retiring the honorable way, not a fucking medical retirement.
I knew I needed and deserved it, but deep down it felt like a cop-out." The line between shame and dignity was as thin as ever.
"Does he have a phone yet?"
Mendoza asked. Nah, not yet. But I'm sure he'll get it turned back on tomorrow.
This is really not fucking good.
Mendoza sounded exasperated, and a lot of his concern must be for Fisher, whom we'd all taken in. Mendoza was the kind of man who would do everything he could for the people he loved, and now Fisher was one of them. Mendoza and Phillips had already drifted apart during our deployment, the latter using his adrenaline and anger as an excuse to shoot his gun many more times than needed. It wore on Mendoza, who was the most righteous of us all. Yeah, really not fucking good. I brought Karina and him to my place for now. We can come up with a plan or try to navigate this tomorrow. Thanks for answering, man.
I've got you. You always do everything for all of us. I'll do what I can. We all will.
I could tell Mendoza hadn't been drinking by his calm, rational thinking. I hoped this wouldn't make him go inside and pick up the bottle, but knew it probably would. All right. Talk tomorrow. Call me if anything happens, I said, hanging up the phone. When I turned back around, Karina was standing in the front of the kitchen, and the look on her face fucking ripped me apart. I've always been able to stand everything that happened to me, having bullets graze and tear at my body, getting shrapnel stuck inside my neck only a fraction of an inch away from an artery, having my leg mutilated. But seeing Karina in pain nearly brought me to my knees. She didn't say anything, so I walked toward her, reaching my arms out to grab her as her shoulders collapsed. How is he? I asked her, stroking her hair softly with one hand and holding her tightly against me with the other.
He finally ran out of things to vomit. He hasn't said a word. He doesn't know we know, and I don't know how to approach that. What they did was fucked up, and I should be pissed at him for hiding this from me, but I feel bad for him, for both of them.
She looked up at me, her green eyes full of small red veins. And I'm sorry for you too. I know Phillips is your best friend. This puts you in such an awkward position.
I can go,
Fisher's voice came from behind us. Karina turned around and I looked over at him, shaking my head. You're not going anywhere, I told him, meaning it. I'd tie his ass to a chair before I let him go right now, and he didn't have anywhere to go anyway. And neither are you, I told Karina, pulling her even closer to me. It's your birthday. Both of you. We can at least order some food or something. Nothing is going to happen this afternoon, or even tonight. So let's try to have some fun, then go to bed, and come up with a solution tomorrow.
A solution,
Fisher repeated, then slumped his way to the couch. I was sure if he were able to think clearly, he would have caught on that we knew why he was having such an intense reaction to Phillips' sudden return. Neither of us were saying it, but it was taking up so much air that we could barely breathe.
I'm not hungry,
Fisher and Karina both said at once. I don't care. You're not going to starve today of all days, and you can nap after you eat something. I pulled out my phone and walked into my room to order Chinese takeout. I knew what both of them liked, and I asked the woman on the line if they had any desserts and candles, offering to pay extra. She said she would see what she could do. By the time the food arrived, the silence was nearly driving me fucking mad. I was torn between wanting to tell Fisher to come clean about everything right fucking now or leaving him alone in his misery. Both seemed like the right and the wrong answer. Instead, I turned the TV on and searched for Twilight to comfort and distract Karina. I offered to play Call of Duty with Fisher, but he sat there uninterested. The food arrived and they picked at it, barely eating, and the lady who'd said she would see what she could do about a birthday dessert failed me by sending one blob of what looked like melted ice cream on a brown square. So I tossed it and called in reinforcements. Gloria and Mendoza showed up at my back door less than an hour after I texted them. Gloria handed me a small store-bought cake with a monster truck painted in blue icing on it.
It was all they had, she shrugged, pulling out a pack of candles.
Where are they?
Mendoza glanced around me. They're hibernating on the couch. I forced them to eat something, but they're doing this twin silent suffering thing, and it's driving me fucking crazy.
We gotta snap them out of it, especially him.
Mendoza pulled a lighter from his pocket, and Gloria pushed the thin, colorful candles in all over the cake. It didn't look like 21, but at this point, the number of candles was the least of any of our concerns. Let's go out there before the Harrison come in here, I suggested, waving to the living room. Gloria started singing and we followed. Karina's face went from colorless to alive when her eyes landed on Gloria. Fisher wasn't as affected, more surprised, but not as reactive.
You really didn't have to have a second birthday cake for us.
Karina looked at Gloria after she blew out the candles. But I do love monster trucks. She laughed lightly, and it was music to my goddamn ears.
Fisher, what's up with you?
Mendoza asked as if he didn't already know. He went to sit next to him and wrapped an arm around him, pulling him closer.
I'm just...
I could see the struggle in Fisher's eyes, hear it in his voice.
I don't want to talk about it, but thank you for being here.
Mendoza squeezed Fisher, then patted him on the head.
I'm always here, man, no matter what.
Fisher began to cry, and Mendoza brought him in for a full-on hug, covering his shaking shoulders. I turned the volume up on the TV, and Gloria turned her attention to distracting Karina, who was slumped over with a plate of cake in front of her watching her brother's breakdown.
Twilight, huh?
Gloria pointed at the screen.
I haven't seen it in forever, but I'm Team Charlie. Poor guy.
Karina's mouth twitched at the corners, pulling up the tiniest of bits. On the screen, the two main characters were flying around the trees. It was completely ridiculous, but was seeming to work to keep Karina from breaking down, too.
Imagine the story from Charlie's point of view,
Gloria continued, reaching to pull Karina to sit by her on the floor, so the couch was behind their backs.
It's a horror movie. His moody daughter comes to live with him after her mother runs off with some athlete. Then she's a hermit, finally gets a boyfriend, and he's this creepy pale white boy whose family all look like dolls and have tons of money. Then bam, she's in the hospital. He leaves her, she becomes depressed, he comes back, and suddenly she's married, pregnant, and turns into a freaking vampire.
Karina laughed, her body rocking with real laughter.
Well, I've never thought about it like that. You summed up the story in 30 seconds, and it's so much funnier from Charlie's point of view.
I bet he doesn't think it's funny.
Gloria wiped her eyes, laughing tears at the corners. Then his only grandchild grows at a freakish pace, and Jacob turns into a werewolf in front of him, then ends up with his granddaughter. Talk about family trauma.
Even I'm trying not to laugh at this point.
Calling the Mendozas over was the right move. I might not be the best at comforting or distracting, because I tend to stay in my pain and deal with the suffering myself. But having Gloria here was a breath of fresh air. She suffered too, but handled it better than the rest of us.
After a while, we all picked at the now cold Chinese takeout, and Gloria picked most of the icing off the cake.
Fisher and Mendoza played Xbox for what felt like days, and Karina and Gloria talked and talked and fucking talked. I zoned out. Not because I didn't care what they were saying, but because I wanted to give them privacy without leaving Karina's side. Eventually, the Mendozas had to go back to get their kids from the neighbors, and Karina's eyes were barely staying open as she leaned against the back of the couch.
Bed?
I whispered in her ear from where I sat behind her. She nodded, and I helped her to her feet. Fisher was asleep on the couch, and Karina covered him with a blanket before following me. I led Karina to my room and opened the door. It wasn't much at the moment, but at least the floors were finished and my bed frame was almost done. I'd been focused on the renovations, not decorations, so the room looked empty and sterile. But I doubted Karina would even think about that tonight.
I'm finally staying over,
she said, standing in the center of the room, in front of the mattress on the floor.
We left in such a hurry. I don't have anything, not even a toothbrush.
I have an extra, and you're not a hostage. Well, maybe for tonight you are, but tomorrow we can go back. Think about it like camping. I tried to lighten the mood a bit.
So this is your room, she said, looking around. I love the paint and the flooring, the fixtures.
She pointed to the matte black handle on the door to the ensuite bathroom.
Is that a connected bathroom?
I nodded.
What a dream.
I have a bathtub too. I installed it a week ago, but if you want to use it, your tub is so small, I said. She jutted her hip to one side and placed her hand on it.
Do you think this is the time to insult my tub?
She smiled, and a huge feeling of relief opened in my chest.
No time like the present,
I responded and sat down on the edge of the bed, rubbing my hand over my leg.
I couldn't focus on the pain. I was out of pain meds and had forgotten to pick up my prescription this morning.
You don't even want to see it? I asked Karina, knowing curiosity was going to get the best of her, no matter how stressed she was. She stared at the door, then nodded, pulling her bottom lip between her teeth. I stood up and winced in pain, trying to dull it with my mind, but Karina noticed it before I could hide it. I opened the door to the bathroom and watched her eyes go wide, and the way I could tell she was impressed made me feel like I had won a medal. The inside of this place is much flashier than the exterior, she told me with a smile. It was fucking wild that approval from her felt so intense and important when I'd spent my life not giving a fuck about what people thought about me outside of my ma and my sister. I would be lying if I said the bathtub being in the center of the room hadn't been influenced a bit by getting to know Karina. I had imagined her in the porcelain tub many times, lying in the bubbly water and letting the anxieties of her day melt away. Even during the uncertainty of what was going to happen with us, the idea of it had made me move a lot faster to get it done, just in case.
Maybe I do want to use it. Do you know what a luxury it is to have a bathtub that a grown woman can fit in? She told me, turning to face me.
I do, actually. That's why I put this here. So whoever buys it can have a place to relax and not be sitting in a shallow cube of a bathtub.
That's pretty thoughtful.
What can I say? I'm a planner.
Do you think Austin is?
She began to ask me. Lifting my index finger to her lips, I pressed it against her mouth. He's as okay as he can be. And I don't have any alcohol in the house, so he'll probably play Xbox again if he wakes up. There's nothing you can do for him right now, except take care of yourself. She sighed, acknowledging that I was right.
Should I at least text Elodie?
She pulled her cell phone out of the pocket of my hoodie. I gently took it from her, shaking my head. I'm going to charge this more, and you're going to take a bath. She looked too tired to argue. When I came back from plugging her phone in by my bed, she was holding a copy of a book in her hand.
Fuck me. What's this?
Karina's face had gotten some of its color back, and she grinned from ear to ear as she waved the novel in her hand at me. My hand went to the back of my neck. I wanted to see what you love about it so much, so I started reading it during my breaks while finishing up in here. I pointed to the dust from construction in the corner. There wasn't much left to do, but there was an open light fixture I was waiting to install, so wires were sticking out. Aside from that, it was damn near perfect.
And?
I shrugged, staring at the hands holding a book with a bright red apple on the cover. I'm only 5 chapters in, so not sure yet. But when my schedule clears, I'll read more. She looked so pleased.
Can I borrow it for the bath?
I leaned across her and turned the faucets on, the water rushing out. I nodded and walked over to the vanity and opened the cabinet door. Lavender or eucalyptus? I held 2 bottles of bubble bath up and she laughed.
Should I be worried that you have a fully stocked bathroom in a mostly empty place?
She cocked an eyebrow.
Who else has used this bathtub?
Her voice turned a bit serious and I held my hands up. No one. I got these for you, see? They aren't even open yet. I twisted the caps off and showed her the silver stickers covering the tops of the bottles as proof.
For me,
she repeated quietly, smug, and clearly extremely pleased with my response.
Lavender, please.
You're such a brat, I laughed, pulled the sticker off and squeezed the bottle over the tub. Bubbles instantly began to rise in the low water.
More?
I asked, and she nodded, watching the foamy bubbles grow.
Yes, please.
Her hands went to the bottom of the hoodie, and she pulled it over her head along with her t-shirt. Her shorts dropped to the floor, then her panties pulling at her feet. Stepping out of them, she dipped the tip of her fingers into the warm water, testing the temperature.
Too hot? Too cold?
I asked, trying not to stare at her naked body, but finding it impossible not to.
It's perfect,
she replied, climbing into the freestanding tub and sitting down. The tub was only halfway full, but with the bubbles, nearly her entire body was covered. I could see the slight outline of her breasts, her pink nipples poking through the white foam. Now wasn't the time to be thinking of how soft her tits were in my mouth, how hard her nipples would be if I gently sucked and bit at them. But that was all I could think about.
Does this luxury spa happen to have any candles?
Karina asked, distracting me for a few seconds. Yes, we do. I opened the other vanity drawer and pulled out 3 candles.
Fuck, I had it so bad. I had never in my life owned a candle until I met this woman.
Let me go grab a lighter. Stay put, I told her, stealing one last glance at her perfect body as the bubbles in the water rose. My cock was hard as I walked down the hallway to the kitchen to grab a lighter from the drawer. Fisher was passed out on the couch, his arm dangling over the edge. I grabbed the lighter and a glass of water, adjusting my pants before entering the bathroom again. Karina watched me as I lit the candles and placed one on the vanity counter and the other 2 on the windowsill behind her. I flicked the light off and looked at her glowing in the soft candlelight. The water was now up to her shoulders and the bubbles would have looked comically out of control if she didn't look so striking, so magnetic. Every time I looked at this woman, all the noise in my head went on mute. I stood there, entranced by her, taking in the sense of calm she brought me and noticing the way her shoulders dropped away from her ears and her eyes relaxed, falling into a calm and curious stare. Despite all the times I've imagined her in my place, in my bed, in my kitchen, talking at the table with her mouth full, and even though I had changed my bathroom renovation around in case she happened to come here sometime, the imaginary scenarios never fully felt real. The lavender scent filled the room and a few more seconds passed, and neither of us could look away. It had been such a long day, in both a good and a bad way. Do you want some privacy? She slowly shook her head. Do you want me to read to you? Her eyes moved to the book on the ledge of the window. Really? Yeah. I have to know what becomes of the old vampire man in a teenage body and the teenager who thinks it's a good idea to date him. And you said the book is better, I teased. It's the love story of a lifetime. So much twilight slander in this house today, so stop talking shit about it and get to reading. She smiled, closed her eyes, and leaned her head over the edge of the tub. I grabbed the book and sat on the floor next to her. Thank God I had perfect vision, because it was pretty dark in the bathroom. I began to read out loud, something I had always hated doing, but for her, I would do anything. That was becoming more solidified every day. After a few minutes, I thought she was asleep, but she surprised me by rising to her knees and reaching her wet hand out to close the book. Come in with me, she asked, her voice a bit shaky. I put the book down and stood up. I lifted my shirt over my head and her eyes, hungry in the glow of the room, focused on my chest.
Chapter 4. Karina. Kale climbed into the tub and slid his body behind mine. His muscled chest felt solid against my back, and I rested my head against his chest. His arms stretched out in front of my body, one resting on my hip and one dipping into the water, taking a puff of bubbles and running fingers along my chest. Only a few minutes ago, I was drifting in and out of consciousness, exhausted from the whirlwind of the day, and listening to Kale's deep voice was exactly what I needed. This was the type of intimacy I craved. And I'd never felt closer to another person in my life. What an insane day. This, though, I leaned deeper into his embrace. Is heaven in the middle of hell? I whispered.
That's what you are to me, Karina. Heaven in the middle of a constant hell.
I turned around to face him, the bubbly water splashing around us. I tucked my legs under his lifted ones and reached for his face.
I'm serious, Karina. For years, so much darkness has taken over my mind. Since I met you, when I feel those shadows creeping in, I think of you and I'm able to push them back. No therapy or mind-numbing medication can help the way you have. And I know it's not your responsibility to fix me, but I really fucking appreciate it.
I love you. You know that, right? I said. The vulnerability in my voice left me feeling as if I was being cracked open and splayed out. The fight-or-flight instinct in me that usually came with any intense feelings wasn't present. There was only Kale and his sparkling yet tormented eyes in the dim bathroom. I brushed my thumb across the scar on his eyebrow, and his eyes fluttered closed.
"I love you, Karina,"
he said. The way he pushed the words out as if they pained him didn't send me into an anxiety-filled tailspin the way it usually would have. Instead, I tried to understand his turmoil, the confusion and chaos around us, inside of his mind and out. I leaned in to kiss him, startling when he gripped my ass, pulling me to straddle him and pressing our bodies so tightly together that I could barely breathe. His mouth was hungry, starving, as if I was his last meal. He adjusted my hips to lower onto his cock, fitting tightly and opening me from such an intense angle that he used one of his hands to cover my mouth and the other to pull at my hair, yanking it hard enough to make my eyes water and my core tighten so deeply I arched my back as I began to ride him. His eyes poured into mine every second of our contact, never looking away, never ashamed, only fully lost in one another. I braced myself with my hands on his shoulders, then his thighs as his hips lifted to meet each of my movements.
"Fuck, Karina, you feel so good. I needed this. I needed you."
I nodded. All I could do as I came, my legs going still and my fingers digging into his broad shoulders as he lifted up, pounding into me to take me over the edge completely. I faintly heard the water splashing as he groaned, releasing himself into me. We both slowed our movements, catching our breath, and his hand moved from my mouth to my cheek, gently brushing my skin. We stayed silent, only our breathing filling the bathroom, until I began to doze off in the lukewarm water. I faintly remembered Kale lifting me up, gently toweling my hair dry, and taking me to his bed. Chapter 5. Karina. My brother was wide awake and sitting on Kale's couch, staring at the wall when I walked into the living room the next morning. He didn't even look up or over at me, just sat there, still as stone. I almost walked back into the bedroom to drag Kale out with me, but decided against it. I'd known my brother since the moment we were born, and I could usually navigate him in a way that no one else could. But I had never dealt with him being heartbroken, if that's what this was. I still wasn't sure, but I saw the way he looked at Elodie as Phillips hugged her, and it sure looked that way to me. "Hey," I said, leaning into the couch next to him. He looked at me for a second, then looked away back at the wall. Austin let out a sigh.
"Hey."
"You okay?" I asked, knowing he obviously wasn't.
"Why wouldn't I be?"
With a shrug, he attempted to sit up straight. "Oh, Austin. My idiotic, loving, always getting himself in a mess, but has good intentions, twin brother." "Because of Phillips coming home?" Austin jutted out his jaw like he did when he was caught stealing liquor from our parents' cabinet.
"What does that have to do with me?"
The sourness and hurt in his voice was hard to swallow. I didn't know where to start, but it was impossible to ignore everything happening around us. "This is the worst timing. But this picture is floating around," I said. I opened the photo on my phone of Austin and Elodie kissing against her car and showed it to my brother. They were in their clothes from the day before yesterday, the same sky blue hoodie Austin was still wearing. His already pale face lost the last little bit of color it had, and he jerked my phone from my hand and shot to his feet. He nearly ran into the low-set coffee table in front of the couch as he paced.
"What the fuck? How the—"
He ran his fingers through his tousled hair and pinched the screen to zoom in on the photo. Who sent this to you?
Mendoza sent it to Kale, but we don't know who sent it to him. It's going around the group, and everyone agreed to not tell Phillips. But now he's here, so I don't know what is going to happen.
I need to call her, he said.
Then realization hit him again.
Oh, fuck, I can't even call her. Does she know about this?
He looked panicked. I don't think so. I haven't been able to ask her because he showed up before you guys even got home.
Have you heard from her?
I shook my head. When did this start, Austin? And what are you guys...
like, are you just sleeping together?
This could ruin her marriage, I reminded him. I was trying so hard not to judge them, but man, was it hard, especially without any context. I wanted the best for them both and couldn't wrap my head around them having an affair.
It's not like that. No, it is, but we aren't sleeping together.
His voice was strained, and he was on the verge of tears.
We haven't slept together, honest to God, but care? My feelings for Elodie are so much more than that, more than some girl to fool around with. I love her.
He sat down, slumping in defeat. I sat there for a moment, letting his confession sink in. How had I been so blind? I was around them all the time. Maybe I was so consumed with Kale that I hadn't even realized my brother and my best friend were falling in love. Does she love you? I asked him, knowing the answer, but wanting to see how he'd react to my question. He nodded.
I know she does. And now she's trapped in your house with a man she barely knows. How can I protect her, Care? I don't trust him. This is making me crazy. To hell with what anyone thinks. She's not safe with him.
Him being her husband. Austin, how did you guys... I didn't know how to ask, but needed some sort of understanding.
I don't know when it started. I think the moment I met her. I ignored it at first, that feeling that kept popping up when I saw her. The way I couldn't stop staring at her when she moved her hair out of her face. The way her laugh made me feel like life made some sense. The more time I spent with her, the more I needed her. I tried to stop it, Care. I really fucking did, but it was impossible.
Austin, I leaned over to touch his shoulder.
I know, it's fucked up. She's married, and I'm not in the place to take care of her and the baby, but I really love her, Care, and will do anything for her.
The situation was so mixed up. Messy, but... somehow, I believed my brother's words and could feel his fear and care for Elodie. It wasn't possession. It was genuine. I had never witnessed Austin caring about another person with this depth before. I wanted to jump in the car and go to my house to check on her. Instead, I texted her and stared at my phone, waiting for those little bubbles to show up. Nothing. 30 minutes. That was how long I'd wait before going home. It was my house, after all. Austin's knee shook. His leg never stopped moving for the entire half hour. We mostly sat in silence, staring at the phone. And when my eyes weren't glued to the screen, I spent the time looking around Kale's mostly bare living room, memorizing every detail. It was styled in a minimal and thoughtful way. There were coffee table books, all about home design and decor. Their covers and spines were all the same brown and beige color scheme. The low, grayish wooden table was decorated with an abstract vase with no flowers in it and a bare, light gray, almost white tree branch laid on its side. I touched it to see if it was real, and it was. The walls were mostly empty. Only one painting hung between the kitchen and living room. At first glance, it looked like someone had simply painted a white canvas brown, but the closer I got, the more detail I noticed. It was textured, the same dark brown, but the paint was thick and had brush strokes all over, in all different sizes and going in different directions. Simple, yet defined and complicated. That seemed to be the theme around here.
Finally, Kale came out, shirtless and wearing baggy sweatpants, with a deep purple mark under his collarbone. I flushed, wondering if my brother would notice. Kale took one look at the two of us and immediately noticed our distress.
What happened?
He moved toward me like he was being yanked by a string, quickly but not as smoothly as his usual movements. We're waiting 5 more minutes before we go to my house and check on Elodie, I explained.
You're not going alone,
Kale stated, with no room to argue.
And you?
He pointed at Austin.
You're staying here. If I were you, I'd keep my distance until we assess the situation and find out what he knows and see what kind of headspace Phillips is in.
Austin immediately protested.
I am not staying here, Martin. I can't.
He can't stay here. Look at him. I pointed to my brother's panic, which was clear as day on his face. My brother's desperation made my stomach hurt. Kale sighed, rubbing the back of his neck with one hand.
You two are going to be the death of me.
He paused, rolling his head in one smooth circle.
Let's go,
he finally said. I wore a pair of Kale's gym shorts and a t-shirt that hit below my knees. Kale put a shirt on, and Austin wore the same clothes from yesterday, even though he had most of his clothes and belongings at Kale's. It wasn't the time to bother him about his choice of outfit.
Chapter 6. Kale. When we pulled up to Karina's house, my instincts were going haywire before we even stepped out of the car. Not knowing what kind of situation we would be walking into, had my mind creating every possible scenario, and none of them were good. Nothing on the exterior of the familiar house had changed, but a wave of alert went straight up my spine as we got out of the car. I told Karina to stay there, but obviously she didn't comply. Fisher moved faster than I did, so I had to catch up as we approached the porch. Karina pulled out her keys to open the door, but I stepped ahead of her and turned the doorknob. I had a feeling it would be unlocked, which was an example of the mental state Phillips was in. He hadn't even locked the front door with his pregnant wife inside. When we stepped in, I wasn't surprised to see the state of the room, but Karina's gasp let me know she was. Phillips was between lying and leaning on the couch, his back stretched along the cushioned surface and his long legs dangling over the arms. His eyes were glassy, and the coffee table was littered with empty beer bottles, unidentifiable trash, and enough takeout containers to have fed all of us for days. It looked like we had been gone a week, not one night. Where is Elodie? Karina asked. Fisher's eyes darted around the room while he waited for a response. I could tell he was trying not to react, but he was dying to know where she was and if she was okay. To distract himself and make it less obvious, he immediately began to collect the mess on the table, but Phillips' arm shot out, gripping his wrist.
What are you doing?
Phillips' words were slurred. Are you drunk? It's 8 in the fucking morning. I grabbed his arm, making him let go of Fisher, who was shaking, not out of fear, but out of barely controlled anger.
Drunk? Me?
Phillips laughed, and the small gap between his front teeth seemed more menacing than before.
I may be.
His laughter grew. Karina's voice was louder now. Where is Elodie? Phillips looked at Karina with an expression that made me want to snap his neck in half.
She's around here somewhere.
Fisher rushed down the hallway calling Elodie's name with his sister on his heels. What the fuck are you doing, bro? You haven't even been home 24 hours, and your wife, who you haven't seen in months, is